Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. Brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller. The Church Safety Guys is a nonprofit organization dedicated to equipping the vigilant, those men and women who stand watch, keeping our houses of worship and places of faith safe. We believe church safety and security must be a ministry first, and have engaged servant leaders who continually strive for excellence and teams of motivated volunteers that are always training. Join us for the next hour as the Church Safety Guys unpack safety, security, leadership, and ministry operations with your hosts, Dr. James McGarvey and Mike Scully. This broadcast is also available on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, churchsafetyguys.com, and on the original Church Security app. Download it today. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share with your ministry.
Well, hello, welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. I am James, and once again, on this fine broadcast, joined by my co-host, Mike.
How are you, sir?
I am good, I think.
Good.
How are you?
Hey, we had our first day under 100 degrees in what as long as I can remember, so I'm enjoying it. Cold front coming in at 98 degrees.
you're funny. It's actually up here in the Midwest, it's actually been a consistent balmy 70s. So it's not really fall, but so I haven't dusted off my CSG sweatshirt. And it's so funny too, because I guess I have this, I don't even know what to call it. I guess I kind of have this whole thing with purchasing sweatshirts. Cause if I see a really cool sweatshirt, I'm like, I'm more apt to wear a sweatshirt than a t-shirt or something.
Yep.
So I'm like, or jacket, right? So I'm like, hey, I really like that sweatshirt, I'll buy it. So I have like four sweatshirts in my closet that I haven't even worn yet, because I bought at the end of this, you know, spring, when all of a sudden it shot up to 100 in humidity.
I've got 2 months I can wear a sweatshirt. So
I've got I've got all this, and it's funny too, because my dad actually semi-retired. And so my mom called me, and she's like, hey, your dad's retiring this year, and just wondered if you wanted something from Ruger. Basically, my dad is a machinist engineer for Ruger firearms. And so I was like, something, are you asking like something that fires projectiles, or are you asking for something else? And she's like, you know, James, no, I'm not saying. She's like, I really kind of wondered if you or the kids wanted any apparel, like sweatshirts or t-shirts or anything like that. And I said, actually, there was this Ruger sweatshirt that I was looking at. And she's like, okay. So she's like, I'll send it to you for your birthday. So she didn't, but they visited in July, I think it was, or August. They drove out and visited July, because my cousin was getting married. So they came out for the wedding, and you know, shortly before that, my mom sent everybody in my house sweatshirts. And
nice.
It was so funny, because you know, my kids love them. They come in and they, you know, so we literally walk around with all these Ruger advertising. That's my family. But yep. There's a, you know what, there's a lot of pride there, I'll say that. And I appreciate that. And my dad, actually, he's retired, but then he's not really retired. They cut him down to 2 or 3 days because they convinced him to stay part-time and to train folks and do different things. So it's pretty crazy, but I've got all sorts of stories about that. I think he's been there now 10 years, maybe longer, but he loves what he does and it keeps him busy. And, you know, even now, like they've basically said, whatever you want to work, whatever you want your schedule to be, we'll do it because we want you. And I appreciate that. You know, as far as companies go, you know, we both have had our ups and downs with jobs and stuff like that, but it's nice to see an American company, an American based company that's still treating their employees very well. Yeah. And I will say that about them, because while they've brought in, you know, a lot of folks, different skill level to try, you know, Six Sigma to try and improve their processing and processes and stuff like that. The original family still has the majority shareholder, and they treat their employees very well, and they do it for the sake of being an American company. And so, like I said, I appreciate that. It's been probably, and if you asked him, he would probably say that it's probably been one of the best jobs he's ever had. So,
well, I want to shout out to finally got my copy in the mail.
Oh, nice!
The most recent. So that's it's great.
I got mine too. There.
Yep. Our latest book is available on Amazon. Train Your Team, part of our Church Safety and Security Lifecycle series, and this is the latest in there. So for those of you that have picked up a copy already, either on Amazon or at one of our events, this is the latest one that you can get.
And it's pretty thick too. I was looking at it the other day and I was like, wow, this is like thicker than I remember it.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. I know we kept adding pieces and pieces as we were working through the notes, and it took a little longer to put that one out, but that may be because it was that much more content to work through. So, it's a good,
it is. Good
training
stuff.
is so core to what we as a ministry do. I think it's important to address all of the angles and look at it through, the multiple lenses that you need to, and not just one that some churches tend to take.
For sure. For sure. And as always, we're happy that that you've joined us. If you're listening at a later time on the YouTube channel or on our podcast, welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us on our broadcast. As always, if we can help you or your church out in any way, we're happy to do that. And you can connect with us through our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com. You can also connect with us through our app, which is the Church Security app, and that's available on Google or iOS platforms, free to download and free to register. Thanks to our sponsors and the folks that support our ministry. So thank you for that. And again, if you would like to support our ministry or be interested in that, you're welcome to reach out to us, and we can definitely connect with you on that and different needs that we have and different things to help with that. At the moment, we are actually assembling the ideas and vendor list and a whole bunch of other things for our 2024 conference, the main conference, which Church Security Essentials, which will be in Austin, hopefully, Texas. So I already told Mike, when I come down to Austin, I'm going to add an extra day so I can drive down and see the Alamo.
Nice.
Because I've always wanted to see the Alamo and I've never gotten to that part of the country.
Hey, it's a lot of good things that are reachable within a day trip from Austin. So we've done a lot of the exploring in the area in the last 4 years since we relocated here. And it's great. Many of the different Spanish missions and things that are down in the San Antonio area actually kind of eclipse the the Alamo Church itself. I mean, the grounds now have a great new museum, etc. But of course, it'll be good. But yes, looking forward to finally having a conference in my backyard. Finally, not having to actually jump on a plane to fly somewhere to do the conference and live out of a suitcase for a week and all the headaches that that can be. So
don't get used to it.
I know. Hey, I'm excited. But you know what? Texas is, everything's bigger in Texas. And I fully believe that about this conference too, is that it'll be bigger than what we've seen even in other states. Even if you just have people that drive in from the many different parts of Texas, because frankly, Texas is as tall corner to corner as the rest of the country is.
Yeah.
North of Texas.
Most, so. I never realized that until I really, I don't know, kind of put it, saw some maps that put it in perspective, you know, but I've been down there a few times. I love it. You know, most of the time when I come down, I usually say that, you know, there's at least one thing that I want to visit, and that's barbecue.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm so sick of barbecue. I have it all the time. And I'm like, but I don't have real food like that. So I want to go find those places. So that's what I said. And hopefully in April, when we do the conference, I said, I wanted to hit the Alamo. And so I was checking out their website and barbecue. That was the other thing. But
well, maybe if it all lines up, maybe we'll even look at a barbecue truck and get food trucks. Austin's all about the food trucks. So you want to get that authentic Central Texas experience, come down to the conference. Maybe we have do food trucks and set it up for that day. And so you don't have to go find a chain restaurant or things like that and get some really good fresh food. So
for
lots of great options here.
Yeah. And we have a lot going on, a lot quickly jumping on the schedule. Just to name some things real quick. It looks like the end of October, we will actually be in Indianapolis. We'll be doing a 1-day conference in Indianapolis, and that's going to be with myself and John DePietro of Ohio Crime Prevention Association. He and I will be sharing that day and talking about what we're talking about tonight. Basically, perimeter protection and how teams can be effective and work with law enforcement. And then also February, the end of February, I believe it's February 24th, we will be in Lakeland, Florida. We're doing a 1-day conference down there on children safety. And we will have, I think, probably 3/4 of the folks there are going to be talking specifically about how to protect your kids' ministries and how to take them to the next level with keeping kids safe against trafficking and different things like that. And I mean, I will be there. We'll have Dwayne Harris with Full Armor Church will be there. Jeff with ECAP will be down there. He's been on the broadcast and he's a great speaker and was at one of our last conferences. So there's a lot going on for sure. And, you know, we have, as churches reach out to us, we've got a few other churches that we're talking to on the East Coast and just different conferences and situations, you know, that are coming up and going on that, you know, it's keeping us busy for sure. But
and likely April for the Texas conference. So we're still, pinning down the date, location, and hope to have that for you within the next month or so as far as being able to confirm that. But we are actively working to do that here in Central Texas, and that'll be before it gets Texas level of hot. it's still in the preheat mode in April.
For sure. As of right now, though, I will say for Florida, for the East Coast folks that would like to do that, the tickets are actually available. You can go to churchsafetyconference.com. That's our normal ticket website, or check our website out under events and it'll list the information on that. So you can actually purchase tickets for your team or go take care of those. And I will say that most of the smaller venues now with the main conference that we do, we're looking at a couple of cool things this year, and I don't want to say too much, but I will say that we are looking at adding a second day, just so that we can get more content in. And with that, most of the time when we do a one day, the facilities just aren't big enough for a massive, like we don't have that infrastructure to have like a massive amount of people. So like, for example, Florida, I think we only have like 150 tickets for the day. So, and the only reason I say that is because if you're thinking at some point with one of the one day pieces, you know, conferences to go to, you want to get your ticket sooner than later, because once those sell out, we just don't have the venue to create a bigger, you know, overflow. So with some of our options in Texas, I mean, the churches down in Texas are massive. So we have a few more options with that, thankfully. But even Texas is going to be, you know, we limit it, and we limit it because we, to an extent, we want to be able to interact with folks. And that's right. Just how we do things different, because we don't want it to just be a fire hose of information. We want to be able to help, and we want to be more interactive with that, with the speakers and
a lot of conferences else. Become impersonal, and they just, sure. Yeah, it just becomes rapid fire of how much can we cram into a day. And it doesn't, we've found it's not the human brain does not learn that way. So you're going to forget too much, after trying to listen to all of it. It's hard to sit through that many speakers at any given point in the day anyway. So it's a matter of quality over quantity, and making sure that we can provide the right options. And so looking at the second day, it won't necessarily be a two full days of the same types of programming, but we'll look at more options for that Friday, including potential VIP options. So more to come. We'll see where that all goes.
For sure. So let's jump into the topic of today, which we're going to actually talk about protecting the perimeter and also impacting the community. So for starters, I know, and if you're listening to this and you're trying to get your safety team started, or you're, even if you're already have a seasoned team, a lot of times it's good, and we like to encourage folks to revisit the idea of doing some perimeter safety and really doing an assessment and going back through and seeing, okay, you know, now that we've got stuff established, we need to go back and take another look at things. Or in some cases, and we do, Mike and I both do assessments, and oftentimes we'll do them together on a church property. But, you know, oftentimes too, when you're talking about doing an assessment to kind of see where you're at and what you need to work on, a lot of times churches will say, well, I'll walk around with a checklist and that'll take care of it. And so the reason I wanted to talk about this today was because that's not a bad way to get started. But oftentimes from our perspective, a lot of churches don't know that we do assessments, but from our perspective, a lot of times, I think that it's better to have someone from the outside come in some cases that has never been there before, and really do a deep dive look. And one of the things that we do is we start at probably the 5,000 foot level for the property and everything, and then kind of go down to the point of, we can even do an assessment of the team and how the team's functioning to that degree based on, you know, the church's needs and stuff. But realistically, when we look at that, oftentimes it's nice to have someone do that from the outside, because oftentimes they're going to catch stuff that, you know, or make recommendations that you wouldn't normally think about, because you're so entrenched in serving and being successful at, you know, with the ministry and doing what you need to do, that you just miss that 5,000 or 10,000 foot look at what's going on.
There's things that happen or you see every single day. And so as a result, it becomes part of your own baseline, your own recognition of what current state of your environment, your facility is. And that may or may not be a good thing. So sometimes it's good to have somebody prompt the question. And so we see that with our follow-up discussions that we have with church staff on the assessments that we do, where it comes up, hey, how did I miss that? Or how did you guys pick that up? Or wait, you went all the way and checked that area out too, and you did this. And well, yeah, every piece of the property. I mean, you're looking at the true perimeter. I mean, to that extent, James is talking about it. The perimeter is all four sides or more if you have an odd shaped property, but at least all four sides. And that's not just the parking lot. That's not just the building. That is every little possible spot. Are you abutted by other commercial buildings? Are you downtown in a more urban area? Do you have a river or a creek or something bordering the property? Is it private or commercial? What all those different things play into the assessment and understanding your risk factors, your safety, your security, and what that looks like based on where you're positioned as a church.
For sure. And even to the extent of, I was working with a church a few months ago, I think it was actually the beginning of the year, on some of their policy creations, and they wanted to tweak some things and do some things different and update some things, which is great. And so when I went into that mode to kind of look through some of their policies and guidelines, I went and I pulled up the church, and, you know, they sent me the information they had, which showed a map, you know, a Google map of probably a couple hundred feet above the church, what it looked like, where they had, you know, fire escapes and rallying points and stuff like that for a moment. And so I looked at it and I kind of went back, and I've got, you know, in my office, when we're not doing a broadcast, I've got, you know, five computer screens and, you know, six computers sitting here, and it's, you know, so my kids call it the command center. Dad's going to his command center, but I digress. So what a lot of times what I'll do is I'll pull up on multiple screens, you know, multiple angles, multiple maps, and look at what's in the area, what's in the community, and that sort of thing. And so while I'm looking at this building and where they have everybody parked, or the evacuation points where they have people parked, and then also where folks are going to escape to if there's an incident that they need to evacuate, I went and I pulled back, you know, for the community with the map, I went back further and kind of looked to see where the police department was, where the fire department was, what the fastest response route would be. Now, you know, obviously with the police department, when we look at something like that, you know, the police department officers could come from anywhere, but when you're working with fire and EMS, typically they're at the station. I mean, they can rotate too. But looking at different things, I was able to kind of come back and say, okay, this is the most direct route. If they're in the station and they're responding to your facilities, then this is how they're going to pull into the driveway. This is how they're going to respond. And from a tactical standpoint for the fire department, this is how they would access the water connect, the hydrants, you know, run hoses, different things like that. And so when I pointed that out to two of the pastors, they were very appreciative, because to the extent that we went and were able to say, hey, consider, you know, how those trucks are going to roll up in. You've got people that are evacuating to points across the driveway where you've got, you know, a 15,000 pound vehicle coming in with water that can't stop on a dime. And right. so having, you know, concise, concentric evaluation points of saying, you know, from the outside in, like where are these vehicles coming from and different things like that really helps out. And it makes a lot of sense to be able to say, you know, this is important. And, you know, that might not be something that you thought of right away, which is fine. There's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can't know what you don't know. And a lot of what the other thing that we're kind of seeing with, along with that, with assessments is that oftentimes, you know, a lot of churches reach out to us about grants, state grants, federal grants, different things like that, with Homeland Security for their house of worship, but they require an assessment, and they require, in most cases, they require a thorough assessment from an individual or organization that is certified in assessments, which we are because we have the SEPTED certification to do that, which means that SEPTED actually stands for Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. But that's a national certification. And so when we look at trends, when we look at different things like that, you know, that's the type of detail and depth that the government is looking for the grant program. And they want to see certain, that certain things have been considered. And so from that standpoint, you know, oftentimes that's kind of the filter that we put through a lot of our concepts and considerations. And to Mike's point, what he mentioned earlier, one of the other things that oftentimes we'll do too is we like to sit down and do what in some cases could be called like a shareholder interview. But individuals that work full time at that church or school, you know, we've done schools and businesses before, but the individual that's there full time, every single person, and it doesn't matter who that person is, or if it's a church or a school, every single person has a fear of something happening while they're at work. And so you may not be able to completely 100% remove that fear, but you can certainly do things to mitigate if that ever takes actual place and happens to that individual or individuals there. And so what Mike and I like to do is we like to sit down with people and we're honest. And, you know, we've done a couple of them together, and people are always like, oh my gosh, they're going to judge us. They're standing there and they're going to write down on their clipboards and all this. And I've said many, many times, it's not that. Like, we're not there to say you're doing things right or wrong. That's not the point. The point
it's not
is
about, it's not about red pen. We're not there. This isn't school. We're not breaking out the rulers like the nuns. And yeah,
but that's what, you know, and that's what people instantly think, oh, they're going to mark us off and we did this wrong and we did that wrong. No, it's about us sitting down with you and trying to help you mitigate things that maybe you didn't think about because you do this on a regular basis. One business that we checked into, they had a secure location. And one of the things that I did was I wanted to see in the morning when individuals came in to the location to check in for work, I wanted to see if I could walk in with them and not actually, and actually get into the building and do stuff and see how they treated that. And so I walked in and walked behind an individual, and I got to the door, and the individual actually, to his credit, he turned around and he stopped me and he said, I'm sorry, I haven't met you. Can I help you with something? Are you new here? And so he kind of dove into, you know, asking me those questions.
Yeah, that was great.
You know, it was great to see, because there were other individuals the next time I did that didn't, that let me into the building. And I'm like, okay, your premise is that this is a secure environment, but when I can walk in, and you know, churches are no different. People have that perception. This is a secure building. This is a secure environment. Well, I came from, you know, 15 years, actually 17 years at a church where we had 24 doors, external doors. Do you think that every one of those doors was locked every single day, 24/7?
Nope.
No. There's no way. So people would go out a door, and because it was an older building, the door wouldn't latch, the door wouldn't close correctly or lock solidly. So again, that's one of those things that, you know, sometimes it's nice to have outside folks come in and look at it. But if you don't have outside folks come in and do that assessment, that's something that you need to consider. Like, start by looking at the 5,000 foot level of stuff that you don't normally look at, and then keep going down and down and down and look at, okay, how does the campus look? Are there, you know, are there access points that are placed well? Are there access points that aren't placed well?
And by access points, it's both access to the property as well as access to the physical building.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. And I mean, what are features there? What, you know, what is the property designed to do? Was it intentionally a church? You know, was it a church that was built, you know, many, many years ago? Is it,
or is it rebuilt? Like, are you in a school? Are you in an old movie theater? Are you in, like, because these buildings were not necessarily designed for the use of a church. You may be using it successfully, but physical design isn't necessarily mean that it's totally compatible and designed around creating the safest and best use as a church.
Sure. You know, from the outside, you know, usually what we look at is what's called natural surveillance. But, you know, when we look at it, is there walkways? Is there lighting? How are the, you know, the greenery around the building, bushes, trees? Is there stuff that covers windows? Is there stuff that creates pockets of where people can hide? I mean, there's
shadows, et cetera. Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff like that where, you know, like what Mike said, if the building wasn't intentionally designed to be a church, those type of things are far more prevalent because, you know, it just, that wasn't the original purpose. So you really, you kind of have to step back and look at it and think, okay, you know, imagine that you've never been to that building before. Imagine that, you know, you potentially have never been to that church, and, you know, you look at it from an aspect of, you know, this is what somebody that's never been here would see, or, you know, someone that's never been here would do. And from that standpoint, when you look at it, you know, you could grab somebody that's never been there and say, hey, when you walk up to this, what are the first things that, you know, what are the first things you're thinking of? What's the perception, right, your perception of the building? If the building is old and falling apart, that falls into, you know, property maintenance, but to an extent it falls into security too, because, you know, security and safety overlap a lot of times with facility maintenance. And
is it dark? Are you going into almost a little alleyway to get into one of the entrances that you might have to be asked to? Are you coming from a parking garage? Are you forced down in a corner where, you know what, there's not a whole lot of natural light and there's an overhang of sorts because if it was a building that was built on and built on and built on? I mean, I've seen churches where you open a door and the back of it was is the old exterior. And you're like, wait a minute, now it's a closet. But that used to be an exterior door. And so there's just different structures and setup, and understand, like, where is the person likely coming from? And is it designed in such a way that it is well designed for the use? Are you creating those sight lines? Are you creating that ability to have the person feel like, all right, I know where I'm supposed to go. I can see it from where I'm coming from. I don't have to make multiple turns or steps or this, that, or the other thing, ideally. And it's well lit. So when that's the case, you're establishing a great experience from the car to your property edge or to your building edge at that point. And that's reducing the chance for somebody who could potentially take advantage of somebody coming out as staff late at night after working long hours preparing for Easter or another holiday or whatever. You want to make sure that they're going to feel comfortable both in daytime and nighttime.
And that kind of overlaps too with one of the territorial considerations, which is also part of that assessment process through crime prevention through environmental design. So realistically, when we look at the territorial piece of it, and that's not like territorial, stay off my territory, that's looking at what creates a natural guidance, like
boundary, indicator, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got and Mike, you were at my old church with, because we did a conference there, but you know, on one side of that church, you've got a cemetery. And on the far side of the church, you have a berm of pine trees and apartment houses. So realistically, you can very definitely see, okay, this section right here is the church. This is the church property. And there's no questioning what, you know, when you cross on a church property. Now, right, because we're in the community and we're doing stuff and we're on that church is on a very busy road, oftentimes people will cut through the property and they will walk. Well, there's two things there. One, there's not a sidewalk on this road. That's a very well-traveled road. I mean, there's not even a shoulder. They've looked at widening the road because it's not safe in some places. But there's so much foot traffic that goes through. We have people that regularly cut through our property. Now, is that a big deal? No, it's not. They don't do any damage. You know, they're not, most 99.9% of the people that cut through aren't looking to do anything. However, if you actually stopped and you did that interview with the staff members who are there, you know, the secretaries or whatnot that are there throughout the week, and ask them, what is one of the biggest fears that you have about being here in this building, maybe by yourself, maybe only with one or two pastors or people? What's your biggest fear? They would say the people that go through that cut through the property, because we've had a few situations where people have cut through the property and tried to get into the church or tried to do different things. So that's all because of where we're located. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't do our best to remove or mitigate those situations. We can, we have, right, you know, because our intent is to try and make it a more safe environment for those that are coming during the week, safe and welcoming. And we want to do that, because if it's safe and welcoming, let's just be honest, it's going to invite people. It's going to share the love of Christ. That's what we want to do. But we also have to be practical with it from the standpoint of, okay, it's finding that balance of saying,
right,
this is how our property is designed. Are we going to put in a sidewalk to keep people off of the grass? Probably not. Like, that project would be a city project. If we did it, the city would come in and rip it out and say, you know, you don't have the authority to do that.
But landscaping could be done in such a way that kind of creates a safe space for those that might be walking along the street. That's not just necessarily grass or unevenness and things like that. So you could create a natural type path, whether that's mulch or other sorts of things. So maybe it's not pavement, but what it does is it gets the people out of the street, gives them a delineated spot by which they can walk, instead of cutting closer to the building where they're going to check door handles and things like that, to your point.
Absolutely.
But you can also do small little fencing. I mean, fencing that's not obtrusive. You're not trying to be Fort Knox and keep people out, but you're also trying to at least delineate where that property line is.
And you're absolutely right. And when you typically, from my experience, when someone is walking through and they're just trying door handles, it's because they're bored. They're not, you know, they're not looking at, oh, what can I potentially go in here and disrupt or steal, right, or anything like that. But depending on where your church is and how it's situated within the community, that's absolutely right. I mean, that's a great idea. Like, landscape the property in a way that kind of guides people from one side of it to the other without having them, you know, go exploring or do something right different. Now there are individuals that are on staff there that their idea of that protection or prevention, right, because we're trying to prevent things from happening, is to yell at people and tell them to get off the property. And so when you have that, is that an effective path? Well, you know what, let's just say there are times when you need to be a little bit more aggressive and you need to address people and you need to say, look, I need you to do this. Please stop coming on the property because these have been your actions. They haven't been good. We're going to need to trespass you, whatever. I'm not saying that never happens, but I'm also saying part of impacting the community in a positive way and using these tools to impact the community is that if you're not using them, using the tools 100% of the time to think about everything Monday through, you know, Sunday, then what's going to end up happening is you're going to have people that are intentionally doing stuff or trying to do stuff to your church because they're upset because you kicked them out or because maybe you yelled at them and said, hey, get off my lawn. Like, you know, like waving a shotgun. We had a guy up in Cleveland do that. Some kids crossed his lawn and he went out with a shotgun. This was like 4 years ago, and he shot the gun off up in the air.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you don't want associating get off my lawn crankiness with your church.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
But you know, there's ideas that, you know, and that's, again, going back to that middle ground of saying, okay, let's look at this. You know, this person has crossed the property because there hasn't been another safe alternative for X number of years. Are they doing anything that's potentially disruptive? No,
maybe not. But if not, I mean, but if they are, I mean, then that goes into another topic. I mean, that sure brings up the idea of creating levels. I mentioned fencing. That's a form of access control. You're controlling the access to that part of the property that they're tending to choose to enter from.
Well, and the natural, and we haven't really talked about natural access control, but that's one of the pieces as well. So when you're talking about that, that really is natural landscaping or stuff that doesn't necessarily, you know, look at being a 10-foot high stone wall that says right, do not enter. It's like, but again, the boundaries, you know, you cannot, like, using my old church as an example, you can't go on the property of that church and be like, oh, I didn't realize this was the church.
Right.
Because when you look at the church and you look at how the property is shaped because of that, those natural boundaries, like I said, the one side is all trees. The other side is, you know, a cemetery. So from the vantage point of the offices, when you're looking outside, you can easily see if someone's doing something or walking up to the building, because once they cross that threshold on either side, it's obvious that they're intentionally coming onto the property. So it's not, again, and you have to pick and I'm not saying don't follow the folks that come in and don't pay attention. You have to pay attention, but there's a way that you can alleviate quite a few of your concerns with this. And that's through thinking from the outside in and thinking, okay, how does this look to the community? How does this flow? You know, if I'm coming in from, you know, this direction, if I'm coming in for this direction, is it welcoming? Is it warm? Is it landscape nice? And if we're going to do those things anyway, because honestly, most churches look at it and say, we're going to landscape, we're going to put flowers out, we're going to do maybe a little mini fence or something like that. There's things like that that you can incorporate into to create those boundaries to let other people know and say, hey, this is, you know, this is how this needs to be without going to the extent. I mean, I've seen churches where they are gated and Monday through Friday and in between services, they go out and they lock the swinging gate on the driveway. And from a standpoint of impacting the community, what do you think that says to the community?
We're closed.
Or don't come in, right? Yeah. Like don't bother us. Don't mess with us. So if you asked somebody in that community, like, hey, what about that church over there? I guarantee they're going to say something like, oh, the cult, or, you know, oh, those people that hate us, or that don't want to do that, or whatever. You know, one of the biggest deterrents that we came across where, when I was attending that church, which was, again, that church campus is very large and there is a very large parking lot and we have outbuildings and a pond and a garden and different things like that. But one of the biggest deterrents that we have was officers coming in, because the officers love to come in and do their paperwork in our parking lot, and they'll pull up in the middle of the parking lot and just sit there and eat their mm-hmm. dinner. They'll come in sometimes, they'll use the restrooms, they'll grab some water. You know, we have a little refrigerator, they can grab a bottle of water or soda, and then, you know, they go do their thing, and that's fine. They'll sit there and they're not bothering anybody, they're not hurting anything, but having that, you know, having that police car sitting there is a big deterrent, because I can't tell you how many times I've seen people come in, turn around, you know, see the car, the police car sitting there, and turn around and leave because they just don't want, you know, that connection. Right. And one of the things, if y'all remember a few years ago, I think we talked about it on the broadcast, but this was a couple of years ago when all the Pokemon game first came out and all of the the fantastic Pokemon stops, our church had two Pokemon stops. And so one of the Pokemon stops was actually in our front yard. So we had like an entry point front yard. And, you know, what we started finding was people would park and then park in our driveway and walk to where that flagpole was to do this, the Pokemon stop. And it was clogging the driveway, so people couldn't come in or people couldn't leave during church on Sunday. And, you know, when we went out there, we also noticed that people were leaving trash out there. Like they'd go out there and drop wrappers and candy bar stuff and, you know, bottles and all this stuff. And we're like, look, guys, no, like stop. Like we sent a formal letter to Pokemon and said, please remove this because this is what's happening. Now, the second one that we had on our property, which was back towards our pond, was right next to the memorial garden that we have. And people would pull up and they would go in the memorial garden and, you know, do the thing with their phone. And that wasn't necessarily horrible, but to some people that attended the church, it was really frustrating because our memorial garden is like a sunken gazebo type thing where people go to pray. And there's also like our founding church pastor and his wife who've passed away are buried back there. So it's a solemn place where, you know, again, people are like, I don't want anybody coming back here and playing with their phone because this is not appropriate. And so I think eventually with that, we reached out to Pokemon too and said, look, we're not trying to cause problems, but where this is placed is kind of a sacred thing to our church members. And people right. like to go back there and, you know, quietly pray. And this is distracting and disruptive. And so they, you know, they removed it and everything was fine. I use that as an example. And, you know, I'm sure there's still churches that are out there that have these type of situations and different things like that. But realistically, I know when that happened because we had churches reach out to us at the time that there were churches that would literally scream and yell at people, get off our property, to go to, because of that stop, that Pokemon stop. And I remember having conversations with churches and saying, look, you know, if you're the church security person or safety person, and you go out there and you just yelled at this person because you're annoyed with the fact that a game was put on your property, and they don't even know, they think in most cases that churches are public property, not private property. From that standpoint, you're interacting or impacting the community in a horrible way, because the perception that you're leaving is, again, going back to, you guys are just grouchy, and it's not really their fault. Now, they could clean up better and do things better. And that's what, you know, when I went out to our flagpole and I talked to our folks that were there, that's what I said. They're like, hey, we're trying to do this. We really need this game token. And I said, well, here's the thing, guys, it's not you. It's look at the mess here that we've got to clean up. It's everybody else that comes out here and ruins it for you guys. Go ahead and get your token. Please wrap up quickly and leave, because we've got people leaving. And they were fine. Like, there was nothing wrong with it. They thanked us for talking to them and doing it politely. So, right. You know, when you're in that type of situation, I mean, there's ways to be involved with certainly the community. We want to impact the community in a positive way. And doing the assessment and looking at some of those things is important, because how you're perceived in the community is valuable. That's why you're there, is to serve the community. And there's ways to do that without necessarily having to be overly aggressive. And sometimes it takes having somebody else come in and look at it from the standpoint of, you know, maybe you could tweak this, maybe you could adjust this or do this different. And, you know, that would help us be a little bit more aware and mitigate some of those things.
Right. Sometimes it's not even the people that you talk about, the folks kind of pushing people away from their property, but sometimes it can be poor maintenance of the perimeter of your property that creates both an opportunity for people to kind of say, oh, we don't respect our own property, so you can play here. Sure. So, I mean, the maintenance matters. And I know we had somebody that commented, sometimes a church safety guy is the same guy as facilities. And that can be good and that can be bad. Sometimes it's competing opinions and priorities that it's hard to do both effectively. So it's, you want to make sure the maintenance is good so that you're continuing to make sure that the space is designed to be what you intended it to be used for. Because it's also a well-maintained facility is kind of an expression of ownership. Remember years and years back, I can't remember who it was now, but it was kind of in New York City, was kind of a broken window syndrome. Idea that even a broken window would lead is maintenance, poor maintenance enough to understand that would lead to additional crime. Whereas just simply cleaning up and fixing the window would improve the visibility of that area and reduce the likelihood of follow-on crime. Not saying that broken windows lead to more crime, but just broken windows tend to be in areas that then have higher crime. So maintenance matters in that sense, to try to, again, take some ownership, walk the property yourself. That's been one of the things that I would often do at church, is after getting the doors unlocked, after checking the building, after getting things set in the morning, taking an exterior perimeter walk, not just along the building. I'll do that too. That's usually a second pass, but walking around the perimeter, checking for different things. I know I've spoken with pastors that they've come across needles on their playground and other sorts of things that, you know, if they didn't walk it, if they didn't take that level of respect and ownership to look at their property, you know, a kid could have gotten stuck. And so those sorts of things that are important to make sure maintenance is solid.
For sure. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned kind of ties in next with one of the other points, and then we probably need to wrap up because we're just about there. But, you know, doing that maintenance, that broken window syndrome, that's exactly what it's called, is broken window syndrome. And, John DePietro with the Ohio Crime Prevention Association is always talking about that. Like, clean off graffiti, replace the glass, you know, paint something, make it, you know, take that ownership, take that pride, because we've seen in large places like New York City where, or Michigan, where, you know, people have been able to make an impact because they're doing that. But the next thing that follows off with that, because eventually if you don't take care of that, what happens is it generates crime, and it goes to that next point, which is, you know, what is generating crime in your community? What are the major things that you have to look out for from an outside in perspective? And, you know, there are ways. If you're in a larger city, I guarantee, my church was on the outskirts of Columbus, but we were kind of considered Columbus. So from that standpoint, I could go onto Columbus's website and actually pull up the statistics of where crime was, what happened, you know, and different things like that. Oftentimes, and it's public knowledge, it's public, it should be available if you have a local police department, and they don't do the statistics or have stuff out. Oftentimes you can just give them a phone call and say, hey, where could I find out this public, the public records, the public knowledge of, you know, where this stuff is happening in proximity to my church? And that honestly is an amazing help, because it kind of prepares you and tells you, look, if assault is what happens two streets over all the time or regularly, and police respond to that, then I need to be prepared for similar type events at my church. And what can I do to be, you know, proactive instead of reactive with that crime that is happening? You can't, there's no way obviously to 100% prevent crime all the time, right. But you can mitigate the impact to you and the fear of it. You can certainly address the fear of it from a standpoint of, you know, what can we do to make the staff feel safer, the visitors, the members, and ultimately fulfill the mission of the church and do what we're here to do. We don't have to be Fort Knox. We don't have to, you know, have a 10-foot fence in front of our property, but we can be smart about it and also build in, trying to build in those things that naturally are aesthetically pleasing, but at the same time, take care of the property. And you know what? In the end, it's being a good steward of the property. Like, it's being a good steward of the resources that God has blessed us with as we try and walk through that.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of a extreme circumstance, but I've talked to a church that even had a property near them that was basically not kept in good shape and was run down. And they went so far as actually to pursue buying the property, because it was creating kind of an attractant to the area that was creating a bit of that fear for staff and a fear for members of the church. And so by buying that property, they were able to create and change the environment, change the maintenance, change the look and feel of something that was on their perimeter. And that affected their membership. It affected them in a positive way that said, hey, that's great. I hated walking past that, or I hated driving past that. It was such an eyesore. Now, not every church has the blessings to be able to financially afford something like that. But this was a church that was so in tune with the crime and the different things in their community and around them that they then pursued it and tried to be proactive enough to say, enough is enough. What can we do to stop this?
For sure. And doing those things not only helps the community, but it also furthers your impact in the community and helps the church as well. So good stuff. Great conversation. Again, thanks for hanging out with us for the last hour. If we can help you or your ministry in any way, please feel free to reach out to us. And you can do that through visiting our website at churchsafetyguys.com. And we look forward to hearing from you. We love to talk to talk to people. So if there's a topic you'd like us to chat about in the next broadcast, feel free to reach out. And we'd love those suggestions. So we can't do this without you all. And we're just happy and blessed to be able to jump in and do what we can. So again, thanks for hanging out, and we will see you next week. So until next time, take care. God bless.
Thank you for joining the Church Safety Guys broadcast, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. We hope that you found it informative, and we appreciate your feedback and interaction. Be sure to share our broadcast with your teams, join the discussion online, and connect with us on social media or at our website at churchsafetyguys.com. For other great ministry resources, download the Church Security app. Remember, keep a servant's heart, a mindset of ministry, and semper disciplina. Always be training. Have a blessed week.